Remember as a little boy hearing preachers say the good singing helps the preaching. You might need all the help you can get tonight. And with a song like that, sing and be happy, Aaron. If you can't preach after that, you might as well just sit out. But we're glad to have you here. It's good to have visitors from northeast, west, and south. And that's good to see. In Indiana, it ain't happening. People are not coming to gospel meetings. They're not going. And if they are, they're my age and up. Nobody's bringing their little children because they've got to get home. They've got to be in bed. Or for whatever reason they choose to use. We're glad that you're here, and hopefully we can be benefited. By the way, we've already been benefited, haven't we? By the good prayer that Gary prayed and these wonderful songs that have been written for us to sing and to praise God. Tonight, we want to look at a man, and we read about him in Acts, the 9th chapter, verses 10 through 12. You can read on the board behind me. I believe it's there, yes. Very familiar passage after the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor, the murderer of Christians. We begin reading and interrupt the text there in verse 10, saying, "Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight." And for scholars, I understand that road is still there. It's about a mile long. And it's called Straight for that reason. Because it's straight. "And inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." So tonight we read about a certain disciple by the name of Ananias. No, that's not a picture of him. But a likeness, perhaps. So we want to look at this Ananias and see what we can learn from him. He helped in the conversion of Saul. Saul had not been saved yet. Maybe we'll say this again, but Saul came to lay hands on Ananias and any man who was of that way, or woman, and imprisoned them and have them put to death. Paul was butchering Christians wherever he went. In Acts, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 4, after Stephen was stoned and they mourned his death and they buried him, and Christians went everywhere preaching the word. The very thing Saul thought would put out this new teaching, the thing that caused it to grow, and that was persecution. Folks, maybe that's what we need today. Saul was a terrorist. He was coming to stop anybody who taught about this man called Jesus because he was under the way of Moses, the old law. He was following that law. We have here a man named Ananias. There are two others we're familiar with in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, and that's all I need to say about him. Kind of short-lived, wasn't it? Then the high priest. In Acts chapter 23, Ananias, the high priest. But that's not the ones we want to talk about tonight. Our concern is with the one that's mentioned in Acts 9 and Acts 22. Somebody said, well, why have a lesson on a man that so little is mentioned about, that he's just a certain disciple? Well, it's not wasted space, believe me, and I hope that we can show that tonight. Little notice is given to him. He wasn't in the limelight, like a lot of preachers in this area. And some are in this audience, and some have passed from this life that preach the gospel in this area that the world will never know, will never read about, will never hear about. But they were still a certain disciple. And you know what? So are you. You are a certain disciple. Every one of us in here, just like Ananias. He did not know until that day when the Lord talked to him what his work was going to be. But when he was called, he obeyed, didn't he? He was like salt and light. We are the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. And neither one of them works in loud ways, do they? We don't turn the lights on and listen to, do we? Unless the bulb's going bad. We don't put salt on our tomatoes, we will here in a few months, and enjoy the taste. But we will not listen to salt work, will we? Salt and light work quietly, softly, but it's evidence that they are working. And that was way it was with Ananias, and ought to be the way it is with you and with me. Every one of us doing our part. We may not be setting the world on fire, but we can do what we can do where we live, can't we? Shake your head this way. Yes. Yes, we can. We can't be negative and survive. There are church buildings closing their doors now because they did not look ahead. They did not continue to grow. They continued to die. As we said yesterday, in the 1950s, we were first in growth. What stopped us? You know what stopped us? Us. We've met the enemy, and it's us. We can't blame it on somebody. Well, nobody else was interested. They could have said that back then. They could have said that in the first century. But they didn't. Did they make enemies? Yes, they did. Did they make Christians? Yes, they did. And the same way they did is the way that we will do it. Just by being certain disciples. Their day-to-day struggles you face and I face. I don't know what yours are. But I know that you have struggles. One fellow told me, he said, you don't know what troubles are. Well, he didn't know what my troubles were. He thought he was the king of the troubled individuals, but he wasn't, was he? That's the wrong attitude to have. If it's woe me, it's all about me. And I understand that Deborah tells Brian it's not all about him every once in a while. I won't tell you who told me that. But it's not all about me, is it? It's not all about me. It's not all about you. If we get that way, then we are worthless, worthless. Let's be a certain disciple like Ananias was. Go through these day-to-day struggles where there's no praise. When you came in tonight, did anybody stand up and cheer? Did anybody announce your name at the door? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. Is that what we're looking for? If I'm looking for an earthly reward, what will my reward be? It'll be here, won't it? I'm to look forward to heaven. That's what I'm looking forward to. No trophies, no praise, no award banquets, just being a certain disciple. And I think a study of the man of the certain disciple, Ananias, will help us. Let's look at his character. First of all, as we've mentioned several times, he was a certain disciple, not an apostle. Not a world well-known gospel preacher, holds a lot of meetings, some big churches and all of that. No, no. He was in the city of Damascus. And there was a terrorist coming to kill him. And he would have. Are you a certain disciple? Are you ready to do what the Lord tells you to do? Am I? One elder told Judy, went to a gospel meeting, and he showed her the list of the gospel preachers that were coming in that, to that congregation in the future years. He said, look at all those. He said, not a loser among them. Well, my name wasn't on there, so I figured. Is that what we're looking for? We got the top preacher. Yeah, boy. Really? People who preach the gospel. It's not the great gospel preacher, it's the great gospel, isn't it? That's what we preach. If I'm preaching myself, then I'm preaching the wrong thing. Paul said, I preach what? Christ. You read his writings and what do you see? Who do you hear about? Ananias, a certain disciple, a humble man, unknown to many, but known to God. Proverbs 15 and verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He knows the good that you do. And it's good for us sometimes. We find out the good things that you do. How caring, how loving, how selfless you are. And you do a lot of things behind closed doors. But somehow that message got out. It got out when we lived here. And it's good to work with people like that. And it's good to be a person like that, isn't it? Yes, it is. Just be a certain disciple. Be yourself, not in the limelight. Be what you ought to be. Should be a source of comfort to all of us when we are surrounded by people that are certain disciples. Paul said, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. You know why he told you not to be weary? Because you can. Sometimes you feel like throwing in the towel, and that's how one version puts it. One version says, do not flag. And I remember reading that and I wondered, what in the world is it talking about? Do not raise the white flag is what it's talking about. We can't quit. Be that certain disciple. And Ananias was that. He was a devout man according to the law, Acts 22 and verse 12. He was a devout man, pious, godly man. That doesn't happen by accident. Our young people that are growing up here, parents, do not think because you bring them to services that you have done your job. Do your job at home. We tell our children to get your homework. You got your homework. Do your homework. Does it show when they don't do it? Does it show when they do? Yes. Yes, it does. Does it show when parents do their homework? Does it show when they don't? You can see them in the line at Walmart, can't you, if that's where you shop? Remember my mom saying, boy, if that were my child. Well, if that child had been her child, he or she wouldn't have been acting like that. We have to do our homework, don't we? We have to be pious and godly people. Ananias was like Saul. Saul believed in what he believed in. He thought, he said in Acts 23, verse 1, that he was doing what was right. But was he? He practiced what he preached. Ananias did. He was a godly, pious man. He lived what he believed. Everywhere he went. Why do you think the Lord called him? Because he was just that. He was a godly man. When he professed to be something, he matched it with what he was with his life. And that's the way you ought to be and I ought to be. Do people see your life as a reflection of the sun? I'm not talking about the big ball in the sky. Do they? Do your friends, your neighbors see the Lord in you? Is it evidence that you walk with the Lord as it was with the apostles? The Pharisees, the Jews could see that these men had been with Jesus. He'll rub off on you. You study His Word, He'll rub off on you. You will dress like, you will walk like, you will talk like, you will do and be like Jesus, like Ananias was. A devout man, a certain disciple. Is it obvious you are a Christian? Years ago, they said, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would your neighbor say, yes, he's always going to church, and yes, he's always trying to talk to me about the Bible, and yes, he is a godly man. Yes, she helps people all the time. When we moved in next door to them, she was the first that knocked on my door, and she had a plate of cookies or a whole meal fixed for us. Do they forget that sort of thing? No, it's the little things. You don't have to buy somebody a Cadillac. Welcome to the neighborhood. Here's a new... No, just little things that they see you do. Even picking up paper in their yard. Whoa! But you don't do it to be seen of men, do you? Just kind deeds. Be ye kind, Paul said, Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another. Be that way everywhere, every day. Can people tell by your Bible knowledge? Can they tell that you stick your nose in the Bible? You are aware of what's going on and that you care. Would our country be in the shape it's in now if people were Bible pounders, Bible believers? If they studied it, put God's Word in their heart like they ought to? Can they tell by your hospitality, Paul says in Romans 12 and verse 13, that we are to be addicted to hospitality? You ever get addicted to something? Usually we think, oh, that's bad. Oh, you shouldn't be addicted. And there's a lot of things to which you should not be addicted. But this is one thing the Lord tells us that you ought to. Be given to hospitality, the King James Version. Look up the word. Look it up. Ananias was a certain disciple, a devout man, and a man of good report among all of the Jews. Again, Acts 22 and verse 12. The Jews did not believe, like Ananias, that Jesus was the Lord. Recent convert, perhaps, but he was a convert from the law of Moses because the law of Moses spoke about this Messiah. You know, you don't build this character overnight, do you? But you can lose it overnight, can't you? You can lose it in a minute by making bad choices, by doing wrong things, but always keep your eye on the goal. You see any good baseball player who is a good hitter at all, will he keep his eye on the ball? Yes. A basketball player, will he keep his eye on the goal? Yes. And so must you, and so must I. No fanfare, no parades, no crowns. Just a certain disciple being devout, devoted, and having a good report or a good reputation. You can buy ready-made clothes, but you cannot buy character. Teach your boys, teach your girls, teach your grandchildren. And as you get older, you become a better teacher, don't you? Because you've been there, done that, or seen it. Let them see without experiencing the heartaches and the heartbreak of falling from God. You can buy a ready-made car, but you can't buy character. And on we could go. Another thing about Ananias, his readiness to serve. Readiness to serve. What did he say? Behold, here I am, Lord, in Acts chapter 9. Isaiah said something similar, didn't he? In chapter 6 and verse 8, here am I, send me. We sing about that, don't we? Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Where are we going? Where are we going with this gospel? We've got it. Well, I can't go to the Philippines. I can't go to here or can't go there, but I can go across the street or to my next door neighbor. You'll be surprised about what you learn sometimes about your neighbors. They get on the defensive, don't they? And they'll tell you that the roof would fall in if they'd walk in the door. I said, I walk in the door and hadn't. I'm a sinner like you. I'm no better than you. Be ready to serve wherever and whenever you can. As Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. 1 Samuel 3 and verse 9. Let me know what you want me to do. I'm ready to do it. And what a mother he had, didn't he? As Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. How old was he? How old was Jesus when he made that statement? When his parents found him in the temple, 12 years old. Oh, we can't have our children memorizing passages of Scripture. As I said yesterday, back in my day, my teachers didn't know that. Before we could read in the preschool class, we had a teacher that made us memorize verses. An entire psalm. That meant my mom and my dad had to sit down with me. And that wasn't a bad thing either, was it? It taught them as well as it taught me. Maybe I did not understand all the psalm was saying or all the verses were saying, but it was getting into my heart. Train up a child. Yes, Solomon said. I must be about my Father's business. Ananias, a certain devoted disciple, was about his Father's business, wasn't he? Like Paul, who had previously said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? You can be negative all through this, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't, and end up doing nothing. But that won't work. You do not want to hear, depart from me, do you? No, you do not. We need to be like Philip. We see somebody that's lost, how the church would grow if we would go and be in a haste, as Philip did in Acts 8 and verse 30. Philip was ready to serve. We must be ready to serve. He was also willing. Ready, willing. He was sent and he went, didn't he? Unlike Jonah, we mentioned him yesterday. Didn't want to go. I don't want to go. We got to stop running away from God and start running toward God. But I will say, and I would have done this. Ananias said, Lord, are we talking about the same guy? You want me to do what? You want me to go talk to this terrorist? I know why he's coming here. Here's what he said. Lord, I have heard from many about this man. His reputation preceded him, didn't it? Saul's reputation had gotten around, like Jesus' reputation had gotten around. I know about this man. Many have told me about him. How much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. Oh, he was a terrorist. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. All who call on your name. But once he was assured, he went, didn't he? He went, sure he did. Like Jesus, not my will but thine be done. And I've tried to put myself in Ananias' shoes. I'm going to go and I'm going to be the one out of the blue that comes and talks to this man who has letters to come and persecute and come and destroy any who are of this way. I'm going to be the one. Yes, you are. But he did it, didn't he? Moses found excuses. I find excuses. I point my finger at Moses. Oh, look at him. Well, I'm not a good talker, Lord. The Lord answered his excuses, didn't he? And answer yours. Whatever they are, we need to get over it. We need to pray for a little holy boldness, do we not? Lord, help me to mention you to my friends, to my neighbors, to those that I know are lost. Be that certain disciple. Be ready and be willing. And he was just that, wasn't he? Once he was assured by the Lord, he went. He went. He was also faithful, wasn't he? It's shown in his love. When he saw, as we said, Saul came to lay hands on Ananias. But the Bible says Ananias laid his hands on Saul. I would have loved to have been in that room, but you know I can be. I can read of this conversion, can't I? I can put myself, I think that's part of what meditation is about. Yes. In his law doth he meditate day and night, Psalm 1 and verse 2 says. Blessed is the man that does it, he says. Happy is the man. We show our love to the Lord by having the courage that Ananias, the certain devout, faithful, willing, ready servant of God. His loyalty was to the Lord and not to himself. It was Jesus first and not to himself. And his lowliness. He wasn't angry about not being, well, you didn't choose me to be an apostle, and yet you want me to go out there and do what? But he did, didn't he? What did he do? He taught the plan of salvation, didn't he? Sure did. And there's only one. There is only one plan of salvation. We better be sure we have it right. Do you want to base your salvation upon something your parents did for you when you were an infant and they had somebody pour some water or sprinkle some water on your forehead and tell you you were baptized and your sins were washed away? You wouldn't know that, would you? You have to have that assurance by your parents or whoever did that. Or do you want to say, well, I said a little prayer. I read it on this little pink and black track that said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you as Lord and Savior, and you're saved right there. That's another plan of salvation, isn't it? Is either one of those right? Many of those who have been sprinkled, many of those who have said that little prayer, millions, multi-millions, and perhaps billions of people have accepted that, and they're going to wake up in their error at their death. The rich man went to torment. There's only one plan of salvation. There's only one church. Oh, that's not politically correct. Oh, you're going to drive people off. They did the same thing in the first century. Did they drive people off? Yes, they did. Were there only 3,000 souls in Jerusalem when Peter preached that first gospel sermon in Acts 2? There were 3,000 souls that obeyed, but there were estimated millions, perhaps, of Jews there. We have to be devout, devoted, certain disciples, faithful, willing, and teach the plan of salvation. For there is no distinction, Romans 10, verse 12, beginning, there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. Did everybody believe that? The Jews didn't believe that, did they? They were willing to kill anybody who preached that. For the same Lord over all, Jew and Greek, is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that by saying, Lord, Lord, is that what that means? Now we'll see. Verse 14, how then shall they call on Him? Okay, we're supposed to call on the Lord. How am I going to call on Him in whom I have not believed? If I don't believe in the Lord, I can't call on Him. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? They have to hear and then believe, as we go back up to the verse. Then they can call. And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? What did Jesus in Mark 16 and verse 15 tell the apostles to do? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. See the bottom of the verse? They have to hear. How shall they hear without a preacher? They have to hear so they can do what? So they can believe. Which will cause them to what? Call on the name of the Lord. Are they saved when they believe? You can't get that from this verse, can you? If I call on the name of the Lord, I can't do that unless I believe. And I can't believe unless I hear. So as we teach and have taught and you've been taught, first I must hear the gospel and then I must believe it. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, those 3,000 Jews said, what shall we do? Wouldn't that have been the place to say, accept Jesus as your personal Savior? Amen. And we're all saved. And by the way, when you say that, you're so saved, you can't be lost. That's a comforting, convenient doctrine, isn't it? But it just doesn't happen to be so. Or this verse is wrong. I have to call on the name of the Lord after I have heard and after I have believed. Then I can call. See that? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Jesus in Luke 10 and Matthew 10 tells the apostles that if they don't hear you, they don't hear me. And if they reject you, they reject me. And they reject the one that sent me. So don't call me Lord and not do what I say. It is amazing in the very next verse in the book of Mark, verse 16, after he's told the apostles to go and preach so people can hear and believe and do what? Be baptized. And what is that baptism for? Acts 2:38 says it's for the remission of their sins. Saved before you're baptized? Where, oh, where does the Bible teach it? James says in chapter 2 and verse 24, I think we have it on one of our charts, but I'll mention it now. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith alone. What is the world taught? Just believe. Oh, don't get so excited. Yes, get excited. When these people are hearing, just believe, don't believe in these people tell you got to get dunked to be saved. Baptism doesn't save. Well, there's something after you hear and after you believe that you have to do, which is called calling on the name of the Lord. Well, what have we learned? It takes hearing, it takes believing, and then the calling, doesn't it? Have I missed the mark? Do you want to get up here and say, oh no, you totally messed that up? No, we've just been reading Scripture, haven't we? Remember, Paul said in the book of Romans, the one that this certain disciple, devout, devoted, willing, ready, and able disciple taught. Paul said, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. After he heard, after he believed, he had to call on the name of the Lord. So it's not just by hearing, is it? No, not just by believing. There's our James 2:24. Not by faith alone. The only time the Bible talks about faith alone or faith only, it says it's our salvation is not by faith only. Would you get excited if you were a math teacher and you have a student come up and say, 2 plus 2 is 3. 2 plus 2 is 3. Oh, no, wait a minute. Now look. Look at the evidence. Okay, see these two? Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. 2 plus 2 is 3. I've had people sit in my house at my table and say, I see where you must be baptized. Next week they come back and we have more studying and they say, well, I got saved and then I was baptized. 2 plus 2 is 3. Well, last week you said you saw where it was necessary. And now you come back again and tell me you got saved and then you were... Is that over your head? It's not, is it? And yet we are the ones that are wrong, they say. So we're not saved by just hearing. We're not saved just by believing. There is something more. What in the world is it? Ananias, when he came to Saul and put his hands on him, because Saul knew he was coming, didn't he? He had seen in a vision a man named Ananias. The Lord prepared this ahead of time, didn't he? He'd already told Saul, who'd been praying for 3 days and fasting for 3 days. And people say, well, he was saved 3 days ago. No, he was not. He wasn't saved on the road to Damascus. Because he said on that road, after he saw and talked to the Lord, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said, you go into Damascus, and there it will be told thee what thou must do. Is that over your head? It is not, is it? Or are you still 2 plus 2 is 3? I know, and one fellow said, I know that's what it says, but there's no buts about it. Would you be frustrated with this student? 2 plus 2 is 3. Oh, honey, come on. Nope, 2 plus 2 is 3. My mom and dad told me that. My grandparents told me that. And so it must be that. And I see what you're saying. You say it's 4, but nope. Sometimes you have to shake the dust off your feet, don't you? And go on. But isn't it great when you see somebody's eyes light up and say, I've never been told that. Why, it's for sure your preacher, your pastor, your priest is not going to tell you that, because that this word is contrary to his doctrine, isn't it? Isn't it? I don't say these things to be harsh. I want you to be hurt. I want you to be upset. I want you to go home and read your Bible and see what the Bible says. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. 1 Peter 3, verse 21. Just like Noah and his family was saved by water, verse 20 of 1 Peter 3. The like figure. Just like they were saved by water, so are we, and that water is through baptism. That's how it's done, calling on the name of the Lord. Paul was told, Ananias told him, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. All of this from the Lord speaking to Ananias and saying, here's what you got to do. And Ananias did it, didn't he? And when Saul heard, he could have said, I've not heard that all my life. I've just been taught the law of Moses, and I'm sticking with it. Well, he'd have died in his sins, wouldn't he? Yes, he would have. But there's a lot of people in a lot of denominations that don't know where to go until they are told, until they are taught. And when they are, they'll want to go back from where they came and draw others out. And I know what they'll do. They'll say, I know 5 or 6 other people that are like me, and I can go back and I can teach them like you taught me, and we can get them out of that denomination, and we can bring them. Now, sometimes that happens. But don't expect a mass exodus from a denomination. What kind of a heart does it take? It takes a heart like Saul. You talk about a complete conversion. You talk about a 180. Whew. Before his conversion, he was a killer of people like you. Yes, he was. He could sit and watch a man being stoned. Have you ever seen somebody stoned? You can even Google that, folks. But I guarantee you, you probably won't watch it for long. It is not a pleasant sight. Paul was that kind of an individual. You think he ever forgot what he did? No, he did not, even writing to Timothy. He never went to bed at night without thinking, oh. Let's be like Ananias, can we? Let's do like Ananias, and we'll get the results of Ananias. That's what will happen. Be faithful children of God, ready, willing, and able. Put your nose in this book. Put it into your head. And like the little pitcher that's full of water, short and stout, tip me over and what? Pour me out. If I jostle you, you're going to spill the gospel on me. And it may not be done in one easy lesson. I'd like to talk to individuals and baptize them that day. That doesn't happen very often, but it has. It has. And you just might be the one. And we can start this. Well, they accused Paul and his companions in Acts chapter 17 about verse 5 of turning the world upside down. World beaters. We need to know the enemy. We let them know that we are here and we are not afraid. We are coming. And we're not going to be politically correct. We're going to be scripturally correct. And you can't beat that. They are unarmed. We have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And they only have the weapons of the devil, and that's their false doctrine. Let's let them know who we are and what we stand for and the teachings of the Lord. And you may convert us all. You just may be the one. But if you're here tonight and you haven't obeyed the gospel, you haven't called on the name of the Lord, what did Saul do? He arose and he was baptized, and Ananias said, that's calling on the name of the Lord. He'd heard with his ear. He'd believed with his heart, repented of his past sins for those 3 days of fasting, and willing to confess Christ as our Savior and be buried with Him. Just like Romans 6, 3 and 4 says, arising then to walk, just like Jesus did from the grave, our watery grave, to walk in newness of life. It's too simple. 2 plus 2 is not 3. Is it? You want to stay in that camp? No, you don't, do you? It's only 4. There's only one answer. There's only one way. Won't you follow it right now while we stand, while we sing, Aaron?